We are turning this morning to the parable of the invincible seed in Mark chapter 4 and verses 26 to 29, where the Lord Jesus Christ sets out an aspect of the kingdom of God. That kingdom where he is the king has come, Jesus Christ, in his person, in his ministry. And so in the person of Jesus the kingdom of God has drawn near. And he teaches us, what is the kingdom of God like? Now, normally, when we speak of kingdom in the English language, we're speaking of territory, geography, a particular area, the United Kingdom. But in the Bible, the kingdom of God, it's not speaking about one particular nation. It's speaking of God acting as king, as sovereign, as Lord, in the hearts of men and women in all the nations of the world. God acting in grace and mighty power. In your heart this morning, if Jesus Christ is your Saviour King, the kingdom of God has come in grace and power to your life. And that kingdom then is the kingdom into which you enter as the Holy Spirit gives you new life, as you repent and believe the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. So why did the Lord Jesus Christ preach this parable? Where he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Well, he did so because people in his day, like many in our day, had grossly distorted the meaning of the kingdom of God. They had carnal views of the kingdom of God. They were thinking, kingdom of God means a mighty army. Kingdom of God means great pomp and ceremony. Kingdom of God means political rule and power. No, said Jesus, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Humble and unobtrusive, outwardly unimpressive. The disciples are to see in Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, the humble, despised, rejected Jesus. The Son of God, God the Son, God's King. A king whose birth was announced to shepherds. A king was born and laid in a manger. A king was a man of sorrows. A king who dies on a cross. But in this parable, Jesus teaches the kingdom of God is not a mighty army, is not great power and pomp and ceremony, is not political rule. No, it's humble and obtrusive. Unimpressive in the eyes of the world. It begins when you, in simple childlike faith, you turn from your self-will, you repent, you believe the gospel, you hear good news about Jesus the Saviour, and you submit in your heart to the gracious but sovereign rule of Jesus the Saviour King. So that's how the Lord Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God. It's like this, he says, and he speaks about sowing seed and growth and harvest. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The sickle is like a curved cutting tool that people used to use when they worked by hand to reap a harvest. So what does Jesus want us to learn about the kingdom this morning, the kingdom of God? Well, first of all, something about the origin of the kingdom. The origin of the kingdom. Where does it come from, this idea of the kingdom of God? And how is it established? And how does it grow? What should we expect to find when we think about the kingdom of God? The kingdom that will outlast all other kingdoms. The kingdom that will spread and expand till it covers the whole world. You see, many wouldn't be shocked if they read something like this. The kingdom of God is as if a great king would gather a mighty army and plan a conquest to conquer the world. Or the kingdom of God is if a great political leader was to consult the leading thinkers of his day, assemble a think tank, and plan the expansion of his political power. We might think, well, that makes sense. But it isn't what the Bible says. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What is this seed scattered on the ground? Well, in the context here, the seed scattered on the ground is the message of the Bible, the Word of God. Well, Jesus is saying that the faithful, simple, tireless spreading of the Word of God is the means God has ordained for the establishment and growth and extension of his kingdom till the day of harvest, till the time of consummation, the second coming of Jesus, when Jesus returns to the world. When Jesus was here on earth, how did Jesus establish his kingdom? We've already read Mark 1:14-15, some months ago now. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He was the great man scattering seed on the ground. Yes, he validated his unique claim to be the Son of God with miracles. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. But it was not by the power of miraculous signs that Jesus established the kingdom of God in the hearts of men and women. The miracles that he performed showed that the king had come. The miracles showed that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Messiah. But people entered the kingdom of God, even under the ministry of Jesus himself, by those whose spiritual eyes were opened to see in Jesus Christ the Savior King, to embrace him by faith as he proclaimed, repent and believe in the gospel. So how did the king establish his kingdom? What did he do? He scattered the seed of the word of God. Mark 1:38, he said to his disciples, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. This is why I've come. He went through villages and towns and cities, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. He scattered the seed of the word of God. What directions did Jesus give to his followers? How were they to carry on this establishing and growth and extension of the kingdom of God? Luke 24:46-49. Jesus said to his disciples, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. By the power of the Holy Spirit, his followers were to go into all the nations and do what? Preach in his name. They were to scatter the seed of the kingdom of God. Acts 1:4-8. That is exactly what happened. Acts 1:4. We read, being assembled together, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they'd come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still had not fully got the message that the kingdom of God was not some earthly nation kingdom. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How would the kingdom of God be extended? As they, by the power of the Holy Spirit, scattered the seed of the word of God. So we open up the Bible, we read the Acts of the Apostles, we see the kingdom of God extending beyond Israel, out into from Judea into Samaria, into the whole world, as the kingdom extends and expands. It begins with seeds scattered in Jerusalem, but we see it spreading and expanding till all over the empire of Rome, all over the Roman Empire, springing up everywhere, the seed of the word of God. How did it happen? Not with a conquering army, not with worldly political power, not by great philosophers coming together, just humble, ordinary men preaching the word of the living God. They departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel everywhere. That's the means ordained of God to establish the kingdom of God. And according to this parable of Jesus, it's still the great means ordained of God. Any other means that people try to introduce is an intrusion on the will and wisdom of Jesus the King. So if you understand this, you will see why the primacy of preaching the word of God is so important in the Church of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God will not advance if that primacy, the first place for preaching the word of God, is not maintained in the Church of Christ as a biblical priority. I've had a very unusual invitation this last week or two to be involved with a group of people thinking about the need in London for the spread of the kingdom of God. What will I need to talk about? I'll need to talk about the importance of the word of God, its authority, and preach it, make it known everywhere. That's why putting yourself, for example, under systematic, expository preaching of the word of God is so important. That's why we try to bring others under the sound of the preaching of the word of God. That's why on a Saturday night, people gather to hear the word of God being explained. That's why we meet together to study the Bible as Christians on a Thursday night to grow. Now, you may not be called upon to preach formally in a church setting, or to teach formally in a Bible study. But suitable to your gifts, the Bible tells you, there are ways we can all spread the message of this book, the Bible, the Word of God. You give someone a tract. You give someone a book. You speak a word of witness to a neighbor, to a friend, to a colleague. You send someone a card and you write a little message on it, and you quote a verse from the Bible perhaps. You send an email. In the church, we're trying to think of suitable ways to use social media. What are we trying to do? Going out into the area perhaps. We're scattering the seed of the word of God. Now, why do that? Because we know if people are ever to enter the kingdom of God, it'll be because gospel seed has been scattered in their hearts. What's the greatest blessing God could give to London? To Finchley, to Mill Hill, to Southgate, to Hampstead, to Elstree, to Harrow. Sowers of the word of God. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what we need. Not more politicians. Not more philosophers. Not more social scientists. But people who will sow the word of God. Gospel farmers. Going out in the power of the Holy Spirit. With all the shame that might bring, what are you doing these days? People sometimes ask me, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a preacher. A preacher? Why on earth are you doing that? That's a waste of time, people might say. I might even get arrested. There's a video going around, on a little clip on I've seen of a preacher outside Southgate tube station. Got himself arrested. What was he doing? This terrible thing, preaching the word of God. Why would you bother doing that, scattering gospel seed on the ground? Why do I do it? Well, because of this parable. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. What's the means by which God has established the kingdom of God advances? Here's its origin. The word of God. Scattering the seed, the word of God, as widely as possible. The origin of the kingdom. Secondly, the growth of the kingdom. Because here Jesus speaks of the certain growth of the kingdom of God. Until the consummation, until the second coming. that this kingdom will grow until Jesus returns to this world. Notice what the text says. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest comes. Now notice what Jesus has just said. He doesn't say, if the grain ripens. When the grain ripens, he says. When the grain ripens. Because the Jesus wanted the disciples to understand, yes, the word of God is the great means that God uses to establish and extend his kingdom. But he wants to fill them with hope and expectation and confidence in the power of that word. There is a power inherent in the seed, Jesus is saying. The power that is in the seed determines its fate. The farmer scatters seed on the ground. But once the farmer has scattered the seed on the ground, he goes about his work, of course, but what can he do to make the seed grow? The seed springs up, says Jesus. It grows. The earth yields crops by itself. Jesus is saying in parable form what he says in Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he says in John 10, verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. John 6, 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Maybe that as I read Mark chapter 4, a passage that might have come to your mind was 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 6 and 7, where there the apostle Paul speaks about the scattering of the seed of the word of God, and he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, undoubtedly, the main message there is to teach it's not Paul, it's not Apollos who gave the increase, God gave the increase. But there is another line of thought. If I emphasize a different word and I say, God gives the increase, there's no uncertainty, there's no doubt, there's no hesitation. There will be increase because God gives the increase. God gives the increase. There's a link between the scattering of the seed of the word of God and the harvest that's reaped. There is a certain growth here, says Jesus. Now you may say to me, well, what bearing does that have? Well, you see, it's saying we're not engaged on a fool's errand. If we gather together on a Thursday evening to pray and to say to Jesus the King, Lord, open blind eyes and stop deaf ears. Lord, give the increase. We're not just speaking into thin air. Those who are teaching in the creche this morning, those who teach the parents and toddlers on a Monday morning, those who work with children in Explorers or with the young people on a Friday night at Matrix, if you do outreach evangelism, if you go door to door, if you're involved in some sort of evangelistic Bible study, that's not just wasting time. When you give sacrificially of money and time to advance the cause of the gospel here in this church or missionaries in other countries, that's not just some exercise in futility. If I thought there was uncertainty in this, well, I'd go back and do something else, go back to the legal work or something. No, says Jesus, our labor is not in vain. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. God will give the increase. Some seed will fall on good ground. So we don't need to go out with a torch every hour to examine how the seed is doing. When he plants this seed in the next month or two, she's not going to go out every hour on the hour with a torch to see, is the seed started to grow? No, we don't need to do that. The seed will grow. God will give increase. We don't need to buttonhole people unwisely. We don't need to give the gospel double-barreled to every person who comes through the door straight away. We don't have to run around pressurizing or pestering people, trying to do what only God can do. God will see to it that the seed grows. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, says the Apostle Paul. The kingdom will grow. And we are seeing that fulfilled before our eyes this morning, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. The kingdom of God grows. It's unstoppable. The kingdom will grow, says Jesus. So the origin of the kingdom, the growth of the kingdom. Thirdly, what I've called the inscrutability of the kingdom. What I mean by that is there's something, a bit of an enigma here, unfathomable, difficult to understand. The way in which God acts to cause the seed to grow and establish his kingdom. We're told in the text here, the farmer has cast his seed on the ground. He goes to bed, he rises up, he goes about his work. The seed starts to sprout and grow, and Jesus emphasizes the seed grows. The farmer, he himself, does not know how. Because the power is in the seed, not in the farmer. It's not the extent of the farmer's knowledge that determined the growth of the seed. Now that's true in nature, but it's also true in grace. Why does the seed of God's word grow as it does? You see, if you think of it in nature, there is an active providence where God actively causes seed that's spread to sprout and grow. We are not deists. We don't believe that God has just put certain principles into the world and then taken his hands off and lets the world run by itself. No, says the Bible, the Lord causes the grass to grow. Psalm 104. The Lord makes grass to grow in the mountains. Psalm 147. God's active, providential care. Here, the farmer doesn't know how the seed germinates and grows. But he knows it does. So, when the farmer is scattering the seed on the ground, he's saying very simple things. He's saying, I can do nothing, actually, to make that seed grow. If I sing a song to the seed, will it grow? If I do a little dance, if I mime a mime, none of those things will make the seed grow. I don't fully understand how it grows, this farmer is saying, but I'm expectant it will grow. I'm expectant. I'm looking because I'm expecting it to grow. There's the inscrutability. There's the mystery. There's the hiddenness, if you like, of the kingdom of God. The seed of the word of God is sown. The truth is declared about God, about Jesus Christ, about human beings, about our sinfulness, about God's grace to us. In Jesus Christ, the cross of forgiveness. And as the message of the gospel goes out, how are spiritual eyes opened? How are deaf ears made to hear? How is a heart of stone taken out and a heart of flesh put in? How is the Holy Spirit given? How are men and women born from above? How do we explain it all? Well, we like the farmer. We say, we don't know how. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 3 verse 8. The preacher scatters the seed of the word of God. The preacher can do nothing to make that seed grow. In fact, if I run around pestering people, putting pressure on people, trying to do what God only can do, that will actually hamper the seed. I don't fully understand how it grows. If I get all my best books on systematic theology out, the more I'm convinced how little we understand of this. Why is God's word a savour of life unto life in this person and a savour of death unto death in this person? It's the same word, same message, same Bible. And the honest answer is, we don't know. We don't know, but I'm expectant it will grow. If Jesus has ordained that his word will be the means by which the kingdom of God grows, then I expect growth. I expect Kensick Evangelical Church to grow. If you don't expect it to grow, read this parable 100 times this week. Jesus says he expects it'll grow. It sprouts. It grows. Why am I going to talk to the stewards at the end of the meeting about active stewarding and trying to get people to move towards the front in a Sunday morning service? Because I expect new people to come. The first church I went to in Swansea, I said to the people there, we had a small church car park, much smaller than here, and it was much more difficult to park near the church. So I said to the deacons after a while, look, we must put up a sign in the car park, visitors only. They said to me, but there are no visitors. I said, exactly, exactly. You're not expecting any to come. Expect them to come. Live with that expectation and hope. Why? Because you expect the kingdom of God to grow. Now you may say to me, oh, we're living in the United Kingdom. We're living in difficult and dark times for the gospel, and there's a certain truth behind that. But God works in his own way. I'm still expectant that as we scatter the seed, the more it's scattered, the church grows. That's the mean God has ordained. Expect it. Anticipate it. Plan for it. Work for it. The growth of the kingdom. There's something inscrutable about it. How does that work and happen? I don't know. But Jesus says, the farmer, he expects the seed that he's sown to grow. Not if the grain ripens, when the grain ripens. It'll come. Immediately then, he puts in the sickle. The fourth element then in this message is the parable points to a clear indication, a sign, that someone belongs to the kingdom of God, the people of the kingdom. So I've said something about the origin of the kingdom, the word of God. The growth of the kingdom grows, it expands. The inscrutability of the kingdom, there's something mysterious and hidden about this because God is at work. But the people of the kingdom, what's the sign, what's the indication that someone is near the kingdom of God or has entered the kingdom of God? Ah, I say, it's when that person begins to take the message of the Bible seriously. If the seed in the parable is the Bible, the word of God, if the kingdom of heaven is like a man scattering seed on the ground, an indication, a sign that something is happening in someone's life, that they're near the kingdom, they're entering the kingdom, this hidden work of the Holy Spirit is when they begin to take the message of the Bible seriously. You will never become a Christian until you take seriously what the Bible says. What the Bible says about God. You see, you may have all kinds of ideas and notions about who God is and what God is like and who you would like God to be and who you'd like him to be like. God is not like who we would like him to be. God is not like what we might think he is, left to ourselves. God has revealed himself in the Bible. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's the God of the Bible. That's the God you'll meet on the day of judgment. If you're to enter the kingdom of God, you must take seriously what the Bible says about God. Your creator, the lawgiver, the judge, the one who's revealed himself most gloriously in his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you taking seriously what the Bible says about God? What the Bible says about you? You see, you may say to me, I'm an independent person, answerable to no one. Ah, says the Bible, but you're made in the image of God. You are answerable to God. God has put a conscience in your mind which tells you from time to time, that was wrong. Where's it come from? It's come from someone made in the image of God. The Bible tells you, you fell in Adam, you've sinned in your own life. Unless God intervenes in your life, it's called new birth in the Bible, the work of the Holy Spirit. Without that, you'll never see or enter the kingdom of God. You begin to take it seriously, what God says about who he is, who you are, what the Bible says about Jesus. Who is Jesus? What's he done for sinners? Do you know anything of his saving, living power? Have you laid hold in faith to Jesus Christ? We have penitent faith, where you turn from your sins and you take Jesus as your Saviour. You throw yourself, you cast yourself on him alone as the only one who can save you from sin, its guilt and condemnation. What the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus. Notice what this parable says, that there'll come a time when God will put in the sickle because the harvest has come. If you wanted to do a Bible study, you could look at what the Bible says about a sickle. It's this little hand instrument used for cutting and gathering grain. Invariably in the Bible, it's linked to the second coming, when Jesus returns, when the end of the age will come, when Jesus, who came the first time as the Saviour, shall return as judge and Lord and King in glory. God will put the sickle in. There'll be a harvesting. There'll be a final judgment. Are you taking the Bible seriously? What if Jesus was suddenly to return? Where would you stand? So don't entertain any false notion that you're in the kingdom of God if you don't accept the Bible as the word of God. See, without the Bible, you're in a kingdom of darkness. And that's where people are if they're indifferent to what the Bible says. Here's the clear sign that you're near the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of God. You begin to take the message of the Bible seriously. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. See what happens when you're not sitting here with a preacher explaining the message of the Bible. You're not in church. But is the word of God following you? So when you go back home, from time to time, you're thinking about the message of the Bible. When you're in school and there's a break, and you begin to think about the message of the Bible. When you're in your place of work and it's lunchtime, perhaps you even read the Bible then, or you begin to think about the message of the Bible. When you're driving the car, when you're washing the dishes, when you're alone at night, don't resent it when the word of God begins to follow you, begins to track you down. When you find yourself unexpectedly starting to think about the message of the Bible. Ah, that's a wonderful sign that you may be near the kingdom of God. It may be a sign that you are entering or have entered the kingdom of God. Because Jesus says in this parable, the seed that's scattered is the word of God. So when the Holy Spirit begins to bring to your mind and heart and life the message of the Bible, that's a good sign. When someone begins to carry a Bible, begins to attend a Bible study, begins to read the Bible personally, shows an interest in taking the message of the Bible seriously, that may be a time of harvest. In a person's heart, a seed that has been imperceptibly growing, growing, growing over days, months, weeks, years. Suddenly it sprouts and brings forth fruit in a person's life, repentance, turning from sin, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God has come near. A person is entering the kingdom of God. A person has entered the kingdom of God because that seed that was scattered has now brought forth fruit, says Jesus. Not just for a passing moment of time, not just a temporary interest, not a fruit that springs up but then is strangled and choked by other things, but brings forth fruit abundantly. Repentance, faith, discipleship, following Jesus Christ, living for him, serving him, following him. Oh, let's pray that God will cause us to be sowers of the seed of the word of God. And then we must pray that God will bring forth much fruit. And let's expect, as we scatter, that's our expectation, God will give the increase. Now let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word to us. We pray your blessing by the Holy Spirit upon it, that as the seed is scattered in our hearts this morning, it will bring forth fruit to the glory of the Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, at the beginning of the service, we sang a hymn from the early church, from the church fathers. At the end of the service this morning, we're going to sing a hymn that's written by a contemporary hymn writer, which is about the importance of the Word of God standing on the promises of God's Word. That you can stand, I can stand, we can stand on the promise of God's Word from the breaking of the dawn. We'll stand to sing this together. Let's pray together. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both now until the Lord comes or calls. In Jesus' name, amen.